Good evening and welcome, everybody. This is Rob May, and you're listening to CMC Radio. Very excited again to have back our guest, Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty hot here
in
San Francisco, oddly enough, but other than that, all is well.
Well, over here in New York, we're dealing with a little bit of a heat wave, so...
Okay.
Everyone's trying to stay cool.
All right, I'll try.
So, Amity, why don't we... We're in episode 11 of the 12-part series that we've been doing with you, and for everyone that's been with us over the course of this series, it's been a really fascinating journey through one of the most extraordinary circumstances that I think a human being can kind of be faced with. Definitely not something that you see every day, but you know what? More and more, it is occurring, and people are talking about it. And who better to get this from than someone who's dealt with it themselves, and instead of running away from the problem and hiding, you've really embraced the situation and sought after helping other people, which is really incredible. And I'm very happy to say that it's been a great series for us to have you on the show. And so, Amity, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can familiarize the new audience
with
who you are.
And let me just also put a postscript of what you said.
I'm here
not just to help people, but to open the eyes of the wider society to what happens, to see what happens when gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people feel they have to get married. That's what the thing to do, and everything will be all right. Because when it turns out they marry a straight person, it isn't. Not just for the straight person, but for them. So anyway, I just wanted to add that postscript. So how did I get involved in all of this? Well, I grew up in outside of Lexington, Massachusetts, where the Battle of Lexington happened and Paul Revere came and so forth. So my whole background has been one of standing up for individual liberties and rights and stuff. Then I worked in Detroit, Michigan, after I got my master's degree at Columbia. And there I was working with the students who were kids of both the owners of the automobile companies and the workers. And I ran into labor unions for the first time. And I joined the AFFT. And there were so many people being left out of the big picture. And those kinds of things kept me going. And then I went when I got my PhD and was out here teaching at San Francisco State. It was the time of the 60s. So, of course, I got involved in training teachers for desegregating schools and developing curriculum for multi-ethnic classrooms and so forth and so on. So then when my husband came out, you see, I thought, oh, here's just another minority group that no one's ever paid attention to.
Absolutely. And, clearly your background, being across the country and experiencing all these different things that were so new at the time, and the integration of different cultures and lifestyles. I mean, do you think that contributed to your approach to the situation that you were faced with?
Oh, definitely. Everything that had happened to me has fed into this, and my philosophy is if a door closes, find another. if a window closes, well, break it out and go out. And so I kept doing that and running into these new experiences, and definitely gave me all the training. I had a teacher's center network for teachers to get together and make things better. So this whole business of networking was really in my bones.
Absolutely. And with the Straight Spouse Network now, tell us about the Straight Spouse Network, why it was set up, who you set it up with, and how it all came to be.
Okay, well, when I realized that not many people knew what was going on other than people whose husbands or wives turned out to be gay, lesbian, or bisexual, or transgender, I decided I better write a book and have their stories out there. So I started I took early leave from teaching and started writing The Other Side of the Closet and the coming out crisis for straight spouses. And among one of the people I interviewed was someone who had started a task force for straight spouses within a gay and lesbian parents of gays and lesbian group. When the book was published in 1991, she said, Amity, take it over. So I thought, it's not a task force. It's not a organization, typical organization. It has to be a network of people working together to help each other with some kind of central core and with fact-based information. So I started it, and then it became Straight Spouse. It was a mouthful in the beginning, Straight Spouse Support Network, too many S's, so we made it Straight Spouse Network. Then I realized we got to talk about the kids, so I wrote another book, The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis of Straight Spouses and Families, and then we just built on it. So what it is, it's a network of straight spouses and couples who are trying to stay together. Those spouses and couples who are trying to deal with all the aftermath of coming out in a presumed heterosexual marriage.
And sure.
So it's mainly that. So but the organization that has a central staff that coordinates the communication, the PR, the outreach, the getting all that fact-based research, which I've done ever since for journals and things, getting that in the hands of people so that they can work from facts, not from hunches.
Sure, of course. And I'm sure with this topic, with this particular scenario, there has to be so much opinion-based feelings that go into it.
You got it.
And that's the challenge that I know that you personally have, you know, had to compete with. And I'm sure it seems daunting at times, but it really, and like you said in the beginning, it's changing people's views and opinions of the situation. It's not just dealing with it. It's really opening their eyes to, you know, the alternative, just alternative views, not the traditional view of a man and a woman get married and that's how you're supposed to live for the rest of your life. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, so it's really it's a fascinating subject, and it's painful for me to have these new people call. So it's in such pain. What does this mean? What about me? Where can I go? Am I crazy?
Right. But now with the network, and I know that we've reiterated this on every episode, but I do want to make sure that people know, this is something that anywhere in the world you can reach out and find assistance to get through this.
And the this, for those who tuned in a little late, the this is when your husband or wife in what you think was a heterosexual marriage suddenly say, or you find out, that he or she is really lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgender. What do you do now?
Absolutely. And now with your own experience, I know it probably felt, it came as a shock to you a little bit. I mean, I know you saw the different things that your husband, you know, did that you started to question things, but
no,
was it a total shock?
No, that's the interesting thing. It's a rear view mirror experience. Once he came out, I said, oh, that's why you started changing the kind of clothes you wore. Oh, that's why you took up tap dancing. Oh, you know, so it's a rear view mirror thing. At the time, they're just, things changes, and, you know, everybody changes when he or she grows up.
Absolutely. And with the extension, I want to kind of stress a little bit more about how people can reach out to, you know, their local places, really, to help. And I know that what you guys focus on is peer group meetings, right?
Well, it's peer support, whether it's
peer support,
face-to-face groups, or whether it's online groups, or whether it's one-to-one telephone calls or one-to-one emails. It's a personal support from peers, people who have been there.
Right. That's great. And again, to stress that there is absolutely no gay or lesbian bashing involved here. I know that, you know, that's something that people that go through, you know, having their husband or wife come out to them, I'm sure it's disheartening to them, and they go on the defensive and say things about just everybody that they don't necessarily mean, but this is something that, that the groups do not allow.
Yeah, and it's so easy. You're trying to find a culprit, and we try to help them say, okay, where are you right now?
Right.
What do you need to do? Are you taking good care of yourself? What do you need to do? And then if the husband or wife is behaving badly, say it's just bad behavior. Don't blame it on his or her sexual orientation or gender identity change.
Right. Absolutely. And so, Amity, you've gone through the various stages of coping, and you know, you've discussed everything on from a personal level too, which I really appreciate, and it's incredible to me to hear you talk about it, because you've been through it, and it's something that I don't know if everybody would act the way that you necessarily do, because you are very understanding, and it's really amazing to hear you just speak about it. But today, we've gotten through all the coping now, but now we're going to get towards the emotional toll. So why don't you share with us a little bit about the specific toll that it takes on you emotionally when the spouse comes out?
Okay. Well, the emotions sort of run through the whole thing, and they keep coming up and coming up. And there are four major ones. One is the pain, just plain pain into the pit of your stomach. Another one is anger, which pops up every time you think of it. And then fear of, well, what now? What about me? What about the future? And then finally, in that coping stage, when you finally realize it's a whole new reality and you've got to let go of the past, then that grief and sadness. But these four emotions run simultaneously but at different times. And if it would help, I can read something from my newest book, The Unseen Unheard, Straight Spouses from Trauma Transformation, to get some sense of what do we mean by pain. Okay? All right.
Sure,
so this
absolutely.
This is one woman. What is it with me? I seem to go 2 to 3 weeks and I feel okay. Then I wake up and I have anxieties, panic attacks. I feel like screaming and running like hell. Nothing has changed, as far as I know. My husband hasn't done anything except not have sex with me or any type of intimacy. I'm on a roller coaster. We don't have sex. I feel empty. I try to focus on the kids and work, but that doesn't work anymore. What do you all do when this happens? So that's a woman. Then we have...
Right. Now, just to focus on that real quick. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So that has to be something that would drive the spouse crazy. Or I mean, in any relationship, if you're not experiencing the connection that you have through sexual experience there, it's got to strain. It's got to make you question what you're doing and yourself and the value, your self-worth. I mean, this is all stuff that we've shared over the last couple episodes here. And
yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, and the panic attacks. And then this is a guy. He says, I am currently still married to and supporting my wife who can't decide whether she's bi or lesbian. I have lots of anger and lots of hurt. Don't really know where to start. Any advice?
Jeez. And what's your advice for that?
Start looking at yourself.
Yep.
And then we say, this is a wife again. I want to add, not subtract from my life, but feel at a loss as to what to do. Someone said yesterday that when God closes a door, he opens a window. Well, I have may said that myself in a poor attempt to make someone feel better. I could use an open window because I need the fresh air. Can't catch my breath between losses. Both my father-in-law and my sister-in-law found love again only months after death and divorce. Seems to me that God closed a door for them and decided to open a window straight away. It seems like doors are closing for me. I see no windows. Though I don't want to, I feel sorry for myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in that time of desperation and you're losing all sense of self, how do you try to get out of that? I mean, what do you specifically tell people if they were to come to you with something like that?
We don't tell. We say, well, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Get them to focus. Now, a lot of spouses will, a number of them, what they do is they start keeping a journal, writing down for themselves their feelings and so forth. And then they reread it after a month or so and see how they've changed or what stays, what feelings have stayed. And
mm-hmm.
get to know themselves. Get to know, make friends with the anger. The anger is, the pain is just, it's just, you can't pin it down, but just sit with it for a bit and take a deep breath. Also, getting out and meditating, walking in nature, listening to music, just
mm-hmm.
somewhere to get away from it for a little bit. Then you can come back and see it fresher, more freshly.
Sure, absolutely. But with the processing of all this new information, right, what are some of the things that the straight spouse does to kind of get through it? And I know that we've spoken about some of the negative feelings that would be approached, but what are some of the positives that people will eventually take away from it?
Well, 3 or 6 years down the road, they will know that they have overcome a disaster in their lives and rebuilt themselves and reconfigured who they were. At the time, we honor and say, of course you feel pain. Of course you feel anger. Of course you're afraid. That's natural. But look over here. There's Jenny. And 2 years ago when she came, she was just in sobbing. And now she's up and about, and she's able to offer you how she got there. Everyone does it in a different way. But peers offer each other examples of how they got through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
How they put the anger into positive use. Rather than screaming and yelling, they put the anger into cleaning the house that they put off for a long time, or shoveling snow, or going out and playing badminton, something like that.
And so really it's just to kind of, you know, take the situation for what it is, and obviously it's not a quick thing to get over it. You know, you say on average 3 to 6 years, right? But now, what would you tell people? And I'm sorry, I don't mean to say the word tell, because I know that that's not what you do. But how would you recommend that people can survive and eventually work with their former partner if they obviously dissolve the relationship on the, you know, the that level? Obviously, if there's children involved, it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, just find someone who's been there, or somebody who at least listen and keep their mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out. You hear yourself saying something, it's a little different than having it in your head going around and around in a circle, gathering, you know, mud and junk with it. But if you can get it out, it's talk to somebody. Find someone to talk with. For goodness sake, go to www.straightspouse.org and say you want to talk with someone. And we'll put you in touch with the nearest group or the nearest person. Or just go to founder@straightspouse.org and I'll answer you. Someone
that's right.
Finally got enough courage to call me about 2 months ago. And so she was able to, I was able to listen and she was able to talk, and I knew just what research article to send her about how people can stay together, and had it sent to her. So find somebody, but
mm-hmm.
boy, if they have a computer, and most people do these days, or most public libraries have it,
right?
And say you want some help.
Sure. And I do want to say again, you know, to all those that are just catching up with us right now, that I'm with Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. The website is straightspouse.org. Amity, the two books now that you have written, that you've been reading bits from over the course of this series, they're both available. Are they both available on the website directly, or is it simply
you can order them from Amazon from the website, and that's good because it gives us a tiny bit of money, and we need money for staff.
Sure.
Otherwise, you can go directly to Amazon, but if you want to order it from the website, Amazon, that's fine too, or go to your local bookstore, and they can order it.
Mm-hmm. And now getting back to the the emotional process. Now, I know it's probably an understatement to ask, you know, is it difficult for the individual to go through this, but can you give a basic gauge of what people should expect if they're involved? Like, say somebody just had this happen to them. Their spouse of however many years just came out to them.
For them, it's the shock and the pain and the disbelief.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a little bit of anger. Then it's the more they think about it, more and more anger. How come he didn't tell me? How come she didn't tell me? What about me? And anger comes up. And then, oh my God, what's going to happen now? That's the fear. And then finally, well, this is what it is. Let's see what we can do about it. And then you're very, very grieving for the past you thought you had. You have to let go of it.
Right.
But this is one thing people have to remember. There were real parts, and you really were happy. Don't throw them out. You were happy. Didn't matter. You were happy.
That's right. Yeah. But is there anything that you can share with people that might simplify the whole process that they're going to go through?
Nope.
No.
Nope. It's very messy and dirty. But just keep trying to focus on what about me? What do I need? What do I want? What's important to me? What about the children? How do I want my life to go? What about me? What about me? What about me?
So at that point, it's okay for someone to, and I don't mean to use the word selfish, but it's more, it's a focus on themselves.
That's right. It's self-analysis and self-nurturing and self-reconfiguring. And finally, because this knocks you, your socks off you. You're living a nightmare, and you don't even think you have any ability or much less courage to regain your footing. So it just takes a lot of patting yourself in the back and finding peers. Peers are the best medicine.
Sure. But when you go through this, there's that level of trust that I'm sure is tainted.
How does somebody find the way to do that?
How do you find the way to trust your own judgment and then other people?
Okay, so the anger is about the betrayal, and then how do you rebuild trust? Well, first of all, you have to build trust in yourself, your ability to judge whether things are good or bad, or whether you're happy or sad, or whether somebody's telling the truth or not. Then you try to build trust in somebody else, some friend. Just, you know, you make a date for tea and she keeps it. Okay. You can trust bit by bit. You learn to trust your own judgment, other people's word. And then, as I talked about, I think last time, you have to reconstruct your own moral compass so that you feel very sure, okay, this is the right thing to do for me. This is the right step for me. Oh, that's wrong for me. And rebuild.
Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, can you put a time frame on something like that for people?
All of this is 3 to 6 years.
Oh, okay.
That whole reconfiguring of your own identity, who I am, and I'm valuable, your own moral compass, and your belief system or philosophy of life that gives life meaning. That's what's been blown apart. So it takes a long, long time.
Sure.
A lot of reading, a lot of talking, a lot of experiencing life and music and beauty. And for some, it's a spiritual quest. It's really, if you can understand the depth of the devastation, you can understand the timeline for regaining your own sense of self, the ability to judge, ability to make wise decisions, and move on and create a happy life for yourself, with or without your mate.
And with the peer support groups, right? Now, who is running these? Who's kind of leading the conversation or leading the group itself?
Straight spouses. It's all straight spouses. We don't have
so
any.
So it's all people that have been affected by this.
Exactly. So they've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have a handbook that so that they can know, you know, what things to do and not to do. If there are therapists who are familiar with who are straight spouses, they run a group too, but they can't do any therapy and they can't, you know, do business with those people there. So it's
right.
straight spouses going from their own experience to share and to facilitate peer support. People will tell us, a typical group meeting, they'll come, it's like AA for that matter. They come in, tell their story, others listen and respond and say, oh, yeah, that happened to me, and here's what I did. And the next person tells the story, his story, and they say, oh, oh, boy, yeah, I've been there.
Right. And do you find that that's just the best way for people to really get through this to just talk and find out information from others that have actually been there, right?
All right. And we have a many, many, many more people are doing peer support online. We've got a number of online groups where people will say, oh, what do I do now? And everybody chimes in from all over. We've got 9 official ones that are connected with Straight Spouse Network and other offshoots, which you can find if you start with the Straight Spouse Network ones. And they're amazing. People have insights I never thought of. And they share and they
That's interesting to actually hear. I, why don't we touch upon that? Because I don't think I would expect you to say that there's insights that you've never heard of. Because obviously with the books and all the research that you've done, I would assume, and I might be just overdoing it a little bit, but really, I mean, I could say that you've probably heard a lot of different things.
I've heard a lot, so but not everything. Every individual is different, has a different twist, and different things to cope with. I mean, some of these people, their husband not only comes out, but suddenly is diagnosed with HIV. And it's their ability to look into themselves, and I couldn't look into themselves that well. And then again, there are people who, some therapists and so forth that I talk with are completely off base. They say, oh, well, the straight spouse denied it all through the marriage. And I say, you can't deny something if you don't know it exists ever. It's not in your
right.
frame of reference. They had no idea. It's only that rear view mirror when they look back and they can see and think, oh, what a, that makes them feel even more dumb. How come I didn't see that? Well, why would you? Why would you think your wife was lesbian? Why would I think my husband's gay?
Mm-hmm. And for people that don't know statistically what to expect, I mean, the realistic expectation, are they staying together or are they not?
Yeah, and couples go through stages. They about a third of them break up right away because the gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender experience, they want to get away, or what they've done is so egregious that the straight spouse says, get out. Then there's
right.
another third, and they try to see what they can do and so forth and so on. And then another third say, by cracky, we're going to stay together. We're best friends. We've got a deep bond. We have a deep understanding. I didn't betray her. I finally came out. I was I faced myself and I came out. So about half of them do break up. The other half, which means a sixth of the total, stay together. They stay together in a deeper bond in many forms. Sometimes they're celibate. Sometimes it's an open marriage. Sometimes the husband can have a partner, but it's secondary to the marriage.
Sure.
It's interesting. So that's what happens.
All right. Well, Amity, unfortunately, we are running out of time for this episode. I want to thank you again, though. We do have one more episode, thankfully. So in 2 weeks, we will see you 2 weeks from today. And I hope all is well. And from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we will see you soon. Take care, everybody.